Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 100, woo! Episode 1 of
Your Daily Zeitgeist,
a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and say, officially, off the top, fuck Coke Industries and fuck Fox News. It's Monday, September 16th, 2019. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. It's the end of the world and all of Western civilization. Psychic spies from China steal my SNL elation. And if you want these kind of gems, join Shane Gillis Nation. Oh.
Shane Gillis Nation.
And thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Smoke a thick bowl of wax. Could you wipe my drool? I'm feeling smacked. How did my eyelids turn red? A Mexi melt calms my growing dreads.
I wish I felt like I'm so high, it feels like I'm growing dreads. That's happened to me before. Anyway, shout out to Trite really? Gang. Look, we don't have to talk about that on mic. But yeah, Trite Gang at Chest Test Hades, AKAs, for that Nickelback photograph, AKA. Thank you very much.
Well, we're thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious comedian and talented performer, Mr. Eric Lampere.
Hello. Hello, gentlemen.
Welcome.
Hello, Eric.
Thanks for having me again and again and again, guys.
Yes. It's so good to have you back.
It feels like I'm at home here.
Yeah.
You know? And you guys are my mum and dad, but I don't know which one's mom and I don't know which one's dad.
It's fine. It doesn't matter.
You could be both my dads.
I provide feminine and masculine energy to everybody loving way.
In turn.
Yeah. And thanks, in turn... Love receiveth right. Loving
in kind. And so as to
are you doing something about marriage?
Yeah.
When I was in Nepal, they called me Kim Tati, which meant he who giveth love.
Something about Mary, I feel like, is sort of an overlooked gem, maybe.
At least the character of Pat Healy.
Oh, Pat Healy.
I think Pat
so
Healy
good.
Is one of the best scumbags ever.
Was he the one that had like psoriasis and stuff?
No, that was Chris Elliott's character, Woogie, Don Woganowski. Pat Healy was the private investigator played by Matt Dillon.
Well, Eric, we're going to get to know you a little bit better, catch up with you, find out what you've been up to. But first, we are going to take our listeners through a couple of things we're talking about today. Right-wing propaganda is getting scary. We're going to talk about a couple of examples of that. We are going to talk about the real reason that Trump's energy department just announced that they were scrapping those energy-efficient light bulbs. I hadn't heard this. It's interesting.
Well, finally, I like that science is actually dictating some of the policy.
Yes, yeah. That's right. We're going to talk about the Liberty University clusterfuck, the JF2, Jerry Falwell Jr., and the Politico expose is just an incredible story and proves that the Righteous Gemstones is actually too understated. It's not over the top enough. We are going to talk about that Russian spy who had to be pulled out of Russia. We're going to talk about the Ig Nobel Prizes.
Oh, I love those.
Yeah.
I'm so ignorant. Announced. I just found out about this.
Oh, they're brilliant.
Yeah. As I read them, I'm like, I looked at Jack and I'm like, you heard about this? He's like, yeah.
Yeah, bro.
Not up on my science at all. Sorry.
Yeah, I've worked on the internet for many years.
Yeah, heard of it.
And we're going to talk about Popeyes too, because their solution is they've come up with a solution to your problem.
They've come up to a non-solution to a problem that shouldn't have ever existed.
They should just be selling Wonder Bread out front.
Eventually.
Yeah. But first, Eric, we like to ask our guests.
Oh, I know what you like to ask.
What's something from your search history, bro?
So the last thing I searched was the 31 best final shots in horror movies.
Whoa.
It was just an article, I think, by onepicture.com or something like that. And I quite like studying film.
And like cinematography?
And the opening shot and the final shot always intrigues me. Because there's a reason. There should be a reason. If the director is good or the storyteller is good, that there should be a reason as to why we're seeing that.
Right,
I'm really starting to. I think Hollywood's getting to me, bro.
Getting in your veins, huh?
But I'm really fascinated by not just the story, but what is in the mind of the director. Why did the director choose that frame?
Over
the myriad of millions of frames that could be a possibility.
Was there a specific film that kind of you were impressed by that you didn't think was actually as
now?
Impressive?
Here's my shame. Okay. I Googled it to read for later.
So no examples.
Next time I'm back, I will update you what happens.
Hey, transparency,
yeah,
right,
exactly.
Guys?
Yeah. No, I like that.
The idea of like thinking of every shot in a movie as like an individual painting where everything in the frame was decided for a reason.
Yeah.
That's when I really got, I had a film studies professor who was like, nothing is there by accident. And I have since learned that that's not necessarily true, but it's just from a viewer's perspective, it's a good way to think about movies. It's that everything has meaning. So
like someone said that they found Roma boring.
Right? Did you look at it?
Which right. and in a way I'm like fair enough. Some people don't have time to watch as many movies as I do, right? But I said to them, I was like, no, but rewatch it and ask yourself why that opening shot, for example, took so long,
right?
Where you just saw this sort of blood being washed, or was it blood or poo? I think it was poop.
Yeah,
it was a dog poop. And why did it take so long? Why was it so almost? Why was it in a way so boring?
Right,
it was it was her daily life. We were experiencing a little bit of her daily life and how like monotonous it is.
I think there's layers, right, to getting more engaged with film and watching film. The first is just like, is it entertaining based on me opening my eyes and aiming them at the screen?
Right.
And then from there, can you pick up on the nuances in the acting and then the cinematography itself? Because when you start really appreciating, you'll go back to other films, especially if you begin to identify directors or cinematographers and you're like, wow, when you realize the intention of things, it adds so much more meaning. And
like the language, you know, it's you know, if you can study a little bit of French and go, ooh, et la bibliothèque, you know, where is the library? Mais si tu peux apprendre le français tellement que tu peux parler comme ça, all of a sudden it's like, oh, baby,
wow,
you spoke fluent French.
I feel like I've been made love to by the French language.
Yes.
Man, that part in Roma, I was just
you bringing it up, it was just making me think of the part where they like go to the country to like stay at those people's house.
Yeah.
That's like a, oh man, what a sequence of just, I don't know.
Guys, watch it, you know, watch everything.
Check that shit out. That's like,
or start, you know, start small, start noticing when you see long master shots, right? Like with no cuts. That was my first foray into under, like as a stoner college kid. I'm like, yo, dude, I think that was just all like one take right there. Like, you're like Boogie Nights. You're right. Like, dude, I think this is all just, whoa, dude. They went in the pool and then came out.
Right.
I don't think they cut. Or like Snake Eyes also has one in the opening.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mate, one of the best long shots ever is when Chief Brody is walking with the mayor in Jaws.
Yeah.
And he's walking along the beach and the mayor's like, I don't want to close the beach and stuff like that. And then they sort of walk up and then they walk by the billboard where
the shark graffiti.
Yeah. And then they continue. But the choreography of where the three actors are moving while the camera's moving. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ah!
I don't want to sit here and talk to a guy who's lining up to be a hot lunch.
Wow. Somebody preaching the gospel direct from the scripture.
What is something you think is overrated?
Overrated. How about other people's opinion? Yeah.
All right, bro.
In it.
I love other people's stories. Yeah. I love other people's thoughts and behaviors and why, like, for example, they have those thoughts and why they have those behaviors. Where did that come from? I love every single person's story. But when they come at me on the internet with an opinion of my own perception and my own reality, I sometimes go, how about you just kill yourself a little bit? Because it's quite frustrating when you, for example, I was called a homophobe. While I was on set, I was doing a comedy night, and I was doing a set about the time I did some fellatio on a man's penis.
Uh-huh.
And my opinion was, it wasn't for me.
Right.
And I was sharing that, hey, not for me.
Right.
For other people, great.
Tried it, got the t-shirt, not interested.
And I think because obviously I was bringing lightness and humor to my own experience about how I wasn't into it, but I tried to...
Or your
to,
own
I
sexual tried, experimentation.
Yeah. And I was like, I tried to finish just to make him happy. And, yeah. You know, like, I was, yeah, basically...
As
I,
you do.
I sort of brought light to it, and then this guy was clearly triggered and clearly bullied a lot at school by his own experience.
Right,
and
right,
he
right.
just heard me making light of... sucking dick, essentially.
Right.
And he was really upset. And I tried to, like, be kind and listen. And after a while, I went, you know what, mate? You're not listening to me.
Sure, sure.
Right.
Well, that's the thing. And I think a lot of people, too, expect their opinion to affect another person by voicing it, right? Because we're sort of raised from children to look at feedback from our parents first and be like, okay, how do I adjust? And you're always looking at feedback, opinions. And then at a certain point, like, when you sort of realize who you are, those, like, you know, those don't need to inform your own movement as a human being, how you take the world in.
Mm.
But a lot of people still feel entitled to, you know, controlling, or at least thinking that, let me say this thing to control this or check this person. And, you know.
And the way he was talking to me, there's a little bit of a moment of sadness in a way, because the way he was talking to me was like I was the bully. At school. I was his bully at school.
Sure, right.
And
sure.
I kept thinking, I didn't say any of this to him, but I was like, mate, I lived in 7 countries before the age of 12. Me getting bullied about my identity was my entire childhood.
Sure.
And just because it wasn't a sexual thing, but it was more
geographical. You know what
reason.
It's like to be seen as different and
as
then
the
have
outsider.
People sort of, yeah, yeah.
But I knew that at the moment he was just fired up and didn't want to listen. And I was like, oh, mate.
Yeah.
Like, all right.
I think that's interesting that you kind of, the other option is like telling your story. Like if he had come to you and been like, this is my story, and then like make of it what you will, as opposed to just, there's something so like literally ego-centered of opinion. Like that's like, this is how I see it.
Right.
And you're trying to force that very specific point of view
on somebody else. Because he really got in my face.
Yeah.
And I was just aware that, oh, he's clearly got some pain from childhood.
Yeah.
Because I put a little bit of thought into it. But if I was just present with him, and I would just be like...
Sure.
I would get defensive.
Yes.
Because he was being rude to me. And so at some point, you just have to ignore people's opinion if you know they're wrong.
I don't know. It's not even that. You don't need to explain yourself to people all the time. And I think we're used to explaining ourselves all the time. Like I said, like when, you know, like I do this because of this or whatever. But at a certain point... I mean, as long as you're not being like evil or something and someone is just misconstruing maybe you're like what you're saying or what they believe you to be, But that's our own desire, right, for our egos, because we don't want to feel like we're misunderstood by another person, because then our identity in this person's eye is not what we believe it should be.
Right.
So then they're activating our own ego shit. And it's more like, you know what? You can think I'm living my truth here. I know that emanates from within me first.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you can't, you know, pick up what I'm transmitting, then that's on you.
Right.
You know what I mean? I got to keep it moving because I'm here to make love and make peace.
Right. There's nothing more boring than listening to an artist explain their work, like in their opinion, what it means or like why they did something as opposed, but their work is brilliant.
Right.
So like just do whatever your version of art is. Don't like give.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. Life is art.
Mm. Yeah. Live your life like a work of art.
Wow.
What is something you think is underrated?
I didn't write anything.
Okay.
Wow.
Just
philosophically? You just mean? Are they like, just on the premise, nothing's underrated?
Well, you know, there is a place for everything, right? There is.
Yeah.
Sometimes I go, is it underrated? Is it not? And, you know, this is my what? How many times have I been here?
Maybe four?
I've run out of my underrated things now.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things.
Well, you were just in Boise, Idaho. How did you like Boise?
I loved it. Oh, shout out to Sarah from Boise who came to my show.
Yeah.
Boise was wonderful. Caitlin Gill had a comedian. She did a great sort of observation about how they wear the t-shirts of their own town. That's how much
Boise.
That's how much people from Boise and Idahoans love their city and state. They wear t-shirts of their own city and state.
Were they wearing the school's shirts or just straight up just Boise?
No, just
gear?
The picture of the state, for example.
Is there a football field still blue?
I think so.
Yeah. Good branding.
Is that Boise State?
Boise State, I believe. Yeah.
Is that even possible to have a Boise state since Boise is not a state but a city?
Look, man, I got a lot of tales.
Maybe Boise State as in Boise state of mind.
Yeah.
Welcome to Boise. It's chill.
New York state of mind.
I'm trying to think of like what the slogan for Boise would be, but I don't know shit about Boise, so why would I know what the slogan for Boise would be?
I'm guessing I think it's an agricultural one.
Right.
So it is like the Latin's like reap and you shall receive, you know. But,
right. Yeah, yeah.
The motto of Boise?
Yeah, go on.
City of trees.
Yeah, because it's bois. It's
Le
French
bois.
For bois. Right?
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Bonjour.
Le bois.
What is a myth? What's something people think is true you know to be false?
Hey, bro. Concept. You know, like, have you ever considered how concepts aren't real?
Are you making fun of me right now?
No, I'm not.
How about this, bro?
But
you
like,
talk like that. Again,
but again, I was like, oh, it's my fourth or fifth time here.
Yeah.
And I need to come up with another myth that I can debunk, you know, because I was like, there's plenty of myths out there, but one that I can debunk. And I just thought, based on what I've experienced this year, I was like, well, you know, prove to me that any concept that you actually experience is real.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you can read something. So the example I use is, I think, Jenny, the neuroscientist, right? She can be in a black and white room and learn about the color red, right? Everything.
Right.
The radio wave, you know, how it can be used. It represents love, but also danger, all of those things.
Yeah.
But until she steps out of that room and actually sees the color red, she hasn't had the full information, right? And so then it becomes this really interesting thing where you go, okay, I've studied my entire life this thing that exists out there in the universe or past the universe or about time and stuff. But until you really experience it, like for example, people that make beers, right? You can make beer, you can put the ingredients in, you write water, barley, all of that delicious, yum, yum, yum. But until you're like drunk on
and
beer.
Sipping it, yeah, right.
You haven't had the full experience of beer.
Right.
And so it makes, creatively speaking, and actually philosophically speaking and stuff, and actually maybe to evolve as a human being, it's interesting to start thinking about the concepts that you believe in and then maybe see if you can break them down to truly understand the universe.
Wow.
Right. How do you experience?
Welcome, Alan Watts, to the stage. But yeah, it's true. I think that the experience, I mean, we can know so many things intellectually, right? But experience, even adding experiences, even to your point, it might not be something you think you need or don't need or whatever, but just always giving yourself new stimulation through experience.
Right.
Can lead to tremendous growth.
Time is measured by change, right? And so, for example, a brain will always measure something for the first time. So you always remember like your first kiss and first this, first that. And as you get older, people are more and more afraid of doing more firsts.
Right.
And therefore, time sort of moves in a sort of like, meh, kind of way. which is why you should constantly keep challenging yourself to experience first or read about first or do more first.
Right.
Because then all of a sudden your memory bank just keeps filling because your brain goes, this is first. Yeah. Let's remember this. Rather this is why like, people in the car crash, they say like, it moved slowly, bro. I don't know why everyone's like...
Been hanging out with a lot of surfers.
Sounds like a fucking freshman philosophy student who just took a bong hit.
But yeah, stimulate your mind.
Yeah.
Stimulate.
Yeah, because it's true. Like, you know, you can go to that same bar for the 900th time. That's not going to really necessarily open up something new in your memory.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
You might remember trying, like, shit, maybe I will go to this weird grunge show, even though I don't fuck with grunge all the time.
Right.
I'm trying to do that with music, too, now.
Oh, good for you.
Because I like music, but there's some genres of music where I'm like, I don't know if I'm interested in seeing a live show of this because I wouldn't really listen to it normally, but I'm more like... No, you know what? Like, to take in the experience of seeing this other form of music.
That's the thing as well. Taking in the experience, even if you don't really fit in or you don't like it, just be chill, enjoy it, take it all in.
Yeah.
It's quite fun.
Well, being uncomfortable typically leads to huge growth or something like, you know, like even when you're a kid, right? Like when I was playing sports, when I was good enough to play with like a lot older kids in hockey, like I was very scared because I was like, these kids are 2 years older than me. And like when you're 12, that's like a whole fucking universe of size.
Yeah.
But that experience of being uncomfortable like forced me to improve or whatever. It's like anything. Just put yourself in uncomfortable positions and you will prevail.
Yes.
All right. Let's talk about there's a couple pieces of right-wing propaganda that are starting to make the right seem a little scarier than they seemed before I saw them.
Before?
I mean, yeah. They've been frightening me for a while.
Right.
So there was an ad that ran in New York and Houston and one other city during the debates that was a photograph of AOC and it says, this is the face of socialism, and then lights it on fire. And then like it burns away and there's like pictures of like skulls and dead people underneath. And I guess the idea, this is from a PAC. Led by a woman who got totally tuned up in the 2018 midterms.
Trounced.
But she became famous anyway because her violent ads got banned from Facebook. So like she became a figure of, you know, the right wing being able to say that their voice is being held back because...
Right,
because
she's an Asian woman.
Right.
She's like the poster child of like, I'm a minority who fucks with Trump.
Yes. And her kind of origin story is that her parents were almost killed in the Cambodian killing fields, I think.
Wow.
Yeah.
And all of that to just run, I mean,
But that was done by the Khmer Rouge. And who's famously wearing rouge? I believe it's the Trump hats.
I mean, that's about as similar as you get to, like, that's... You might as well just be like, well, what color were they wearing? Because like for all the similarities that AOC has to the version of communism or socialism.
I've never understood this, right? So
right.
Some Americans don't want to listen to me, understandably, because you're not from here, bro.
Right?
Why did I say bro?
No, talk like that. Right? We might take you seriously.
So many people get angry at me when I just tell them, just so you know, I come from a place where I pay less tax and I get healthcare.
Right.
Just chill out with the socialism. Stop putting a dirty word on it. It's
right.
It's I don't know. Yeah.
I don't know. I genuinely, my mind is boggled.
They should just call it low bills. You want low bills? You want lower bills?
Right.
Yeah. I fuck with that. Great. That's what we're doing.
Get your low bills out of my state.
Yeah. I don't want lower. I want higher bills.
Really? It's my freedom to pay more money.
But yeah, I think that's the thing too, because, you know, America, you know, at one point capitalism did work for a large number of people. And then that proportion has completely fallen off and now it's different. And I think, you know, we've been, many people have been conditioned to hear those as like existential threat buzzwords of like communism, fucking social, whatever that is.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, it's tough. But then meanwhile, you have candidates like this who, you know, it really pains me when I see the like minorities who are really trying to like use their existence to try and soften Trump's racism.
Right.
Or be like, well, you know, I think this is fine. Or like, he's actually chill because I support him.
Right.
And it's just, it's very disingenuous to me.
You know, like if you're on the right and you have an opinion and you phrase it in a way that's just like, hey, the reason I think like this is because of this, and you're chill about it, people will listen. If you're shouting in someone's face, you've already lost, mate.
Right.
Yeah. You've already lost.
Yeah.
If you if you, you know, I don't know. It's an odd.
Well, I think typically, even calmly, if you engage somebody on talking about socialism who is like on the right, they typically only have like three examples to point to,
right.
Which is interesting because one of the one most people who are into very like lazy discourse will just be like, what about Venezuela, man?
Right.
As like this very extreme example, completely removing all nuance as to how the history of the country, the how what the Western world's part is in you know, pushing that country in that direction and things like that.
Right, right.
And that was what I thought was interesting about the debates is when I forget which one of the hosts or the moderators basically framed that question to yeah. Bernie Sanders to be like, help explain this, because most people, the first thing they're going to be like, well, what about like socialism? I hear is bad and
so
it makes people die.
You're in favor of Venezuela? That's what you want my kids to be like? To have to fight people away from their mango tree with a crossbow?
Yeah.
My kid ain't going to become Venezuelan.
Yeah, that's
be
right.
Damned.
Well, so that ad from that pack during the debates got boycott ABC trending on Friday. But there was another ad that kind of flew under the radar that Rudy Giuliani tweeted so it opens with like a close up on a cop's face and he's facing down
Antifa.
Basically Antifa.
And like, Black Lives Matter.
Socialists. They're just like, you know, enraged and have signs that are like down with
the police
state.
FTP. Yeah. There's some FTP. Police are fascists.
Yes. And then it like flashes back to him as a, you know, younger man being sworn in, like just various like moments of American patriotism.
Military.
And then as a child witnessing 9/11 happen. And then it like
cuts back to him.
And he gets this look of determination on his face and like pushes down his police visor and like whips out this like giant like baton and is like, come on, mother. Like, it's like this like call to arms of like the cops are going to like murder
it's
you.
It's wildly epic. I mean, like,
epic,
I'm not going to lie.
By the
by
way,
by far blows out the production value of most dumb shit I've seen like this from the right.
Oh,
like there was full on, like they had extras.
Oh, good for that.
There might have been a second unit. Yeah. I don't know.
Oh, I think so. Yeah.
But like there
and
was,
they got a kid who looked like the cop to play the younger version of the cop.
It's like
they nailed it.
Oh, I really want to see the opening and final shot of that video now.
And
yes.
I'll give you a guess as to what is playing on the audio track.
Oh. It's like Sweet Home Alabama, but done slowly. Sweet Home
Proud
Alabama.
To be an American?
Alabama.
Oh, beautiful.
Like a horror
film. A child's voice singing.
Oh, yeah, with like an echoey
singing.
Room. Jack in the Box music playing
right.
in the background.
Exactly.
Jack O'Brien in the Box.
That's right. Hey.
Oh, man. Well, like I said last week, man, just great police state porn. For anybody who's like, yeah, man, that's what I want to. So that's what I have to do to beat up people I don't agree with, become a cop.
Right.
Cool.
Yeah.
Great recruiting tool.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
And we're back. So this story last week, Trump's energy department announced they were scrapping new efficiency standards for light bulbs, which isn't that surprising because it's something that was finalized by Obama, first implemented by famous lefty George W. Bush.
Is that how like lame they are in the list of shit Obama did, that they've gone through like the big right. Shit and I'm like, all right, what else we got? Is this light bulb thing? Yeah, fuck it.
But a lot of people are pissed off because this standard would have saved consumers billions of dollars and prevented millions of tons of carbon dioxide emissions. And so people, you know, not surprisingly, are like, wait, so why are we doing this? And last Monday at a rally, Trump said the quiet part out loud, as he is wont to do, and said he looks better under an incandescent light. And he prefaced that statement by saying, I'm not a vain person, but... And then the following Thursday, he blamed the LED light bulbs for his orange skin tone. He said, the bulb that we're being forced to use, number one, to me, most importantly, the light's no good. I always look orange. And so do you. The light is the worst. And so do you.
Wow.
Just so he's not orange. You're orange.
Oh, boy. I mean, like when you start arguing, like it's the color temp. Mm-hmm. The color temperature is fucking up my whole existence.
He's thinking about cinematography. I like right. It.
Yeah, he's like a gaffer now.
Right.
He's like, yeah, actually, we shouldn't light this with incandescent, actually. Like, can we get a Kino?
An action movie in 2006.
What? So it's, that's, does that track? No. Why am I even asking if that tracks?
Of course
because
not. He's been tanning. He's been orange since like 2003. People actually looked into this, like when did he first turn orange? And it actually goes back to before the Apprentice. I think, what did we figure
2004?
Out? 2004.
Is when the Apprentice started?
Yeah.
And also Facebook?
So that's when he turned orange. And it was around the time that a business partner of his, who he was like going in on an investment with at that time. I think they were buying the General Electric building together.
Or they said they were buying the general election.
That also happened. But that person bought New Sunshine, which was a company that makes tanning beds and also tanning spray tan. And around that time, suddenly Trump turned orange. People are like, huh.
Oh, dude, the presidential sheets at the White House must get all like, stained with his naughty little skin.
He washes them.
Yeah.
He's like, no, I'll do it myself. You know, wasn't there something about that? Like he had this weird thing. He didn't want people looking at his sheets or towels or something. I don't know. Everything just blends together these days. But I like that it's born out of, I wonder what that guy, like when Trump's like, so what are you getting into? He's like, I'm in this like, I don't know, tanning beds and stuff.
Right.
You know, you want to look like you're, you know, on vacation, you know, looking good. Look at that nice, you know, hue to you, like burnt duck skin. And he's like, yeah, oh. I wonder if like that, his wheels just started turning. Goes, okay, that's my new thing.
Right.
I'm going to start tanning.
Yeah, you got to have a color. That's good branding. But yeah, New Sunshine, that company also became a sponsor of The Celebrity Apprentice. So it's not like, I mean, there was a tie-in there. Guys, I want to talk about the show The Righteous Gemstones on HBO and its real world equivalent that is unfolding in Virginia with Jerry Falwell's children and grandchildren. So first of all, shout out to HBO. Whoever is greenlighting these shows is fucking nailing the zeitgeist like 20 months in advance. Chernobyl. Right. Chernobyl was like so perfect, which I guess wasn't like so hard to predict because you knew we had an administration coming in with their head like all the way up their ass.
Well, that
climate change.
And also, yeah, like the sort of obscuring of truth and how that's used in service of darker ends and things like that.
But with Righteous Gemstones, I mean, they and Danny McBride fully nailed the Falwell family. Like, I mean, I guess they've been around for a while, but it's pretty wild. Like the stuff that is being revealed about how Jerry Falwell Jr., who is the charisma-less bearded guy who shows up at a lot of like Republican events and talks like this, like in really slow motion, deadpan. Is he
swirling a sort of cold iced tea as he speaks?
Yeah.
Well, welcome to
I that. Declare.
Not even. He's very like very just not monotone. Memorable.
Yeah.
He's just like, what? Oh yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
Wait, and then you're like, wasn't your dad the guy that was like Teletubbies are gonna make kids gay or something?
Yeah. But he was also his dad basically invented the whole like what we know now as the Baptist born again movement that we associate most like American Christianity with. Jerry Falwell Sr. like invented that essentially.
Right.
And he died in 2007. Jerry Falwell II took over basically the whole company and control of Liberty University, which was a university that was started by his dad. It is a nonprofit or a not-for-profit, which means you're not allowed to profit. You're not allowed to have a political motive. And he has all of those things and like blatantly uses it to like self-deal himself like great real estate opportunities.
In the name of buying it for the school or
yes,
something?
Yes, exactly. The school like sold his personal trainer this like gorgeous, huge property to like so that Jerry Falwell Jr. could like work out there and sold it to him for like an incredibly cheap price.
Oh, wow.
He's also like childishly horny and like talks to everybody about how he has sex with his wife and like nails her. And he's like, oh, I nail my wife so hard and like she can't handle my big dick, bro.
Shit he's saying looked like his coworkers.
To his coworkers. And like,
I guess who are the coworkers at this weird church thing anyway? They're probably like, hell yeah, dude. And then like, what the fuck was that?
No, everybody's like, what? So this
they're like actually conservative Christians who are like, I would never say
Christians.
That. Alone.
They're like, this is a fucking nightmare. It's like a dictatorship under this dude. Like everybody is terrified and just disgusted behind his back. But around him, they're all just like, ah, you said it, JF2.
You nailed her.
Got it, man.
Nailed her for sure, doggy. Sex God.
He once sent a picture of his wife in like a French maid's outfit around to a bunch of like board members. And I was like, sorry, guys, meant to send that to my personal trainer. It's like, no, you didn't. You fucking creep.
I feel so desperately sorry for him.
No.
Right? I mean, obviously, because he's being incredibly rude to his wife.
I think if you can extract all that evil shit he does and exploitative bullshit he does under
it's just the saddest thing, isn't it? It's like, hey, guys, look, I do have sex with a lady.
I feel like you don't.
He really reminds me of Donald Trump Jr., like the whole, first of all, his beard and chinless beardedness, but also just his like, never really experienced discomfort other than his father's disapproval. And so, you know, takes it out on everybody else.
Jack, may I interrupt you here? You said chinless as if that was a really bad thing. And I would like to explore that further.
Right.
Because take a good look at my face, Jack.
I think you're beautiful.
I don't have a chin myself.
Yeah, you do.
And you said chinless in such a way that...
I'm looking right there.
Yeah, that tracks him, man.
Nobody says tracks.
It's I need a beard to make it seem like I've got a chin. But if I shave, mate.
Like
honestly.
Gavin McInnes, like that famous video he did years ago before he became Mr. Proud Boys was like talking about why he needs a beard.
Oh,
and
really?
And then he shaved and he's like, because I don't have a chin. It was like, when you saw that, I was like, oh, there's that energy that will begin to evolve into what a Proud Boy is.
Yeah.
Then you have Eric, who's self-actualized and, you know, empathetic. And he's like, yeah, well, we're all dealt chins. Some
have bigger chins than
some
others.
Some get huge ones, though, too.
Oh, man.
Jay Leno.
Reese Witherspoon, what a beautiful chin she has.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
I want to hold that chin.
The
I
most adorable
tuck
chin.
Tuck it goodnight.
Would you ever get a chin implant?
No, I have considered getting my gums smaller.
Your gums smaller?
Or bigger teeth. You Americans have massive teeth.
Right.
Well, they're all veneers. Everyone's got veneers.
Right. And I've got like these tiny little milk teeth still. And so if I smile... And if you really make me smile, the upper lip sort of hides under itself. Right? And then all of a sudden you reveal this gargantuan amount of
gum. But it's the wonder of you.
Did you hang out with other guest, Jamie Loftus, at all in Edinburgh?
Didn't see them because actually lived outside of Edinburgh. So
whenever
I'd come in, I'd do my show, and I'd get out.
She's a veneers expert.
Oh, yeah. She'll spot veneers like from literally
from
three blocks
off.
Away. So like someone's about to come around the corner with veneers.
Right.
You're like, how did you? Okay, whatever. That's your sad mutant
veneers.
Powers. Yeah, she's like, it's not a useful superpower, but it's a superpower.
But they, so anyways, getting back to this Politico article, they, it's written by somebody who's a graduate of Liberty University. And
oh,
so
who has had it?
They're a journalist. They've written for the New York Times, and they are just dealing with like contacts they have.
Right.
Anyways, the way that Jerry Falwell Jr. has chosen to deal with this is by trying to get the FBI to investigate the writing of the story because emails were leaked in connection with the story. So
that's your defense?
That's his defense.
How the heck did people find out what I say?
Right.
That's a crime, I think.
And then the day after he said that that's how he was dealing with it, Reuters had some emails from him that they published where he called one student an emotionally imbalanced and physically retarded, and called the school's chief of police a half-wit who is easy to manipulate, like a villain, just bragging about how easy it is for them to get away with their crime.
Ugh.
So there's also an amazing character named Trey, who is actually Jerry Falwell III. That's why he's called Trey.
Oh, boy.
And he is in addition to being like having some big, you know, puffed up position inside the Liberty University family, is a Miami party boy. With a hostel and, you know, always out at the clubs, took a picture of $12,000 of cash on his hotel bed in Manhattan when he went up there with his homie to do a job for Michael Cohen back when he was part of Trump's organization. Had to delete that. There was also pictures of he and his dad partying at a Miami nightclub that they had to get, like, taken down off the internet. That might be the best moment in the story. So if you don't mind, I want to just read a couple excerpts from that.
So section. There were images of Jerry Falwell Jr. and his son, Trey, like going hard in a nightclub.
At a nightclub. On July 19th, 2014, popular Swedish DJ John Dahlbach performed at Wall, a nightclub in Miami Beach. That night, the club happened to have a photographer on site to grab candid shots of the revelry. The photos were shared online by World Red Eye, an outlet that documents Miami's nightlife scene. And Jerry and Trey Falwell were visible in some of the pictures. The outlet identified Trey by name. In a statement on August 21st, Jerry Falwell denied the existence of any photo of him at the club. There was no picture snapped of me at Wall Nightclub or any other nightclub, Falwell wrote. I'm sure you already knew that, though. When told that I had obtained a photo of him for this article, Falwell said I was, quote, terribly mistaken. If you show me the picture, I can probably help you out, he wrote.
What?
I think you are making some incorrect assumptions or have been told false things or are seeing something that was photoshopped. The old, it's probably photoshopped. After I sent him the photo, as well as a photo of Trey at Wall, Falwell responded, I never asked anyone to get rid of any pictures on the internet of me. And I never have seen the picture you claim is of me below. If the person in the picture is me, it was likely photoshopped. In a second email sent 23 minutes later, Falwell wrote, but the bigger question, Brandon, is why would I want a picture like that taken down if I had seen it?
Oh, wow.
Which doesn't really, like, make sense. He's clearly spinning out.
And yeah.
They include the picture. You can, like, see weird Jerry Falwell just, like, you know, grinning stupidly amongst like a bunch of 18-year-old like fucking scene kids.
He looks like they're like on Molly or yeah. something. He looks like he's gurning or something. Right. Like he's like chewing on like a fucking cocktail straw. Like, hey, dude, is there another set after this? Or?
Right. According to several people with direct knowledge of the situation, Falwell, the president of a conservative Christian college that frowns upon co-ed dancing. Parentheses, Liberty students can receive demerits if seen co-ed dancing, and prohibits alcohol use, parentheses, for which students can be expelled.
Oh,
that is so Puritan.
According to sources, he was angry that photos of him clubbing made it online. To remedy the situation, multiple Liberty staffers said Falwell went to John Gager, 12 Gager, man, whom they characterize as his IT guy, and asked him to downgrade the photo's prominence on Google searches. Gager did not respond to requests for comment. Gager has worked at Liberty since earning his MBA and is basically like his body man. And Falwell essentially like asked him to get them down in terms of their Google search ranking.
He's like, Gager, you know how this SEO shit works, right? Or this Google fucking crap, dude. Get rid of it. Like those pictures of A-Rod with his shirt off.
Right, exactly.
Pooping. They did a great job.
Yeah.
It's hard to find those pics.
Gager has also run Redfinch LLC, an online business he founded that specializes in search engine optimization, and Liberty paid Redfinch $123,000
wow.
in 2016. So that's like the sort of underhanded, like self-dealing shit that
right.
they do. They have employees of Liberty University who then have their own companies that Liberty then pays
out
like shitloads of money to. There's also a lot of stuff where they are doing things that are blatantly like in favor of Trump. For instance, they changed the day that finals were on during an election year because they wanted kids and like told kids to go out and vote conservative.
Hey, can't do that.
Yes.
Well, good to know that, like, but I mean, yeah, that's what scummy people do. It's just like what Trump does. Like anybody who's running a fucking, you know, a below board business. You're like, yeah, I got fixers on payroll. Well, they have a consulting company I pay out. I tell people he's my IT guy. Meanwhile, he's the person who scrubs the internet of like damaging shit about us.
Yeah. But
if he's so worried about the photo, can't he just Sharpie himself out of it?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
He's like, I know you're deeply mistaken.
Took care of it.
I didn't realize the Sharpie was such a powerful tool in American politics.
Oh, hell yeah, man.
Yeah, dude. You know what they say, the Sharpie's mightier.
They do say that. Let's talk about this Russian spy who Trump outed.
Or indirectly, right? So
right.
we talked last week about how that weird meeting in the Oval Office with two Russian officials, everyone's like, what the hell was that? And then he gave away some intelligence secrets about someone who had infiltrated ISIS in Syria, blah, blah, blah. That essentially led to this revelation that the CIA had cultivated a spy in the Kremlin who had got to the point where he could just see shit on Putin's desk.
Right.
Like, that's how deep this guy got. And eventually was the person who confirmed to the CIA that, yes, it was, in fact, Vladimir Putin who had ordered the election meddling. Like, I heard, like, I was there.
Right. He told me to do it.
That's how deep I'm in this shit.
Right.
So when he was basically, you know, sort of outed in this thing, no one really thought anything of it. But I think as the story came out and they realized just how deep, you know, the CIA was able to, you know, cultivate somebody or plant somebody.
They being the Kremlin.
The Kremlin.
Yeah.
They started getting shook. First, they were just sort of being like, oh, that's a lie, dude. That wouldn't us? Nah, we're spy proof. And then to them reaching out to fucking Interpol to study this case and try and find him. Sure. We know what this means, right? Whenever someone crosses Putin in public and they fuck off to another country, all bets are usually off. We've right. seen it in the UK happen. We've seen it happen in many other places where people suddenly get sick on a bench
yeah.
or some shit, get stuck with an umbrella or something.
Don't drink after this dude. I wouldn't recommend it.
Right. And that's why, again, it was sort of a bit of a of debacle because like the news is the one who leaked his name out there. All the reports before were just like this asset. Like Ken Delanian, I believe, like went to his house from NBC and was Jesus like, this is the guy's man. House. We won't say his name. But
motherfucker.
Savvy people can start putting shit together and eventually right. his name got out. And I think once wow. that happened, that specificity made the shame, I think, real. Because obviously the Kremlin knew this guy was a spy because he was extracted during a family vacation in Montenegro. Like, that's when they were like, you know what, dude, he's out of Russia right now. We think Trump might fucking, like, totally blow this guy's cover or who knows. Let's get him out. Brought him to the U.S. And now his name's there, out there, out loud. And right. now you're...
He's in the States right now.
Yeah.
What a brilliantly terrifying life.
Right.
Yeah.
Being a spy, I've always sort of fantasized about being a spy.
Sure.
Especially yeah. as an actor, right? I'm like, yeah. oh, I can get into any role I
right.
need.
Right.
Like... maybe get into the Kremlin. I do not know.
Yeah.
But the terrifying truth is that, like, oh, you're not on set. Like, this is an actual right, man's right. office that will kill you.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. And you look at all those people that, you know, on just sort of without any kind of, or no consequence, but to them, they act just unimpeded to be like, I don't care what country you're in. We will come onto your country's soil and do our work. Right. And I think that's the concern is that, like, if this guy's in the U.S., much like how in the UK things have happened and, you know, like a lot of the intelligence agencies there are like, this is Russia.
But also, how do we know it's not a double bluff, right? You know what? What if he was turned in that office? You know, I saw things on Vladimir Putin's desk, like a better offer, you know?
Right.
If the US can get someone, you know, that high up, could it not be feasible that there are some high up in the White House?
Oh yeah,
as high as the president, perhaps.
Or yeah, an unintentional asset that right. they found a willing idiot to go along with. But right. again, I think this is where it can get tricky, right? Because that would be a real international event if this person who was an intelligence asset who's in the U.S. is somehow being attacked within the borders of the United States by a foreign country. You know, what's going to happen if Trump's in office? He'll be like, you know, honestly, I don't like spies. So
right.
Yeah, and in all fairness, then you could, you play the other hand, right? You go, well, you know, America did put a spy in that country.
Right.
So then it's like, where does it stop?
Well, and also, like, let's be real. Like the U.S. isn't coming after people on other people's soil.
Right.
I mean, that's the bigger picture. However, if we're just looking at this, right.
Like Russia are doing it in China, like that becomes an international incident.
Right.
I think we did do it with a Chinese spy, like something, a Huawei executive maybe in China where we like...
Oh, apprehended
them
off of a plane, I think.
And like that became a whole thing. So like on one of the major powers' soil is a big deal. That's why the killing of that person in the UK was a big deal. And, you know, if they fuck with this person, like it'll be bad for the world.
Quick shout out to the CIA or MI5. If you are looking for someone to spy, I travel internationally doing stand up and acting, you know, my cover is already set.
Right.
You know, I'm constantly in hotels making notes on my little notepad
right.
for jokes.
Mm-hmm.
Hire me.
Yeah. Or since you're Francophone, the DGSE.
Ah, I didn't know.
Which
I didn't
is the
know
French,
the French
CIA, yeah.
Ah, merci beaucoup.
Yeah, the Directorat General for External Security.
There we go.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to be right back, man.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
And we're back, and we're John Dahl back.
Ooh.
Apparently that DJ is
so sick, dude.
So sick, DJ Danil. DJ Danil. He invented that drop.
That's what it sounds like when a DJ orgasms.
Let's talk about the Ig Nobel Prize, the spoof Nobel Prize.
Okay, I did not know this was a thing.
Yeah, they honor achievements that first make people laugh and then make them think.
Further establishing my ignorance, didn't know it started in 1991. It's been around this long.
Yeah.
Were there any, so again, this whole thing, I loved reading about it because the whole thing is just a big joke and bit, but also with science that people are like, you know, having fun with it. There's a, the award ceremony features mini operas, scientific demos, and the 24/7 lectures whereby experts must explain their work twice, once in 24 seconds, and the second in just 7 words. Boom,
right.
24/7. I didn't realize how jokey yet serious a lot of the research was.
Right.
Yeah, it's essentially that's why you haven't heard of it. It's not technically life-changing science, but it's just fun that someone decided to do it. You know, there's 8 billion of us on the planet. One person's got time to maybe do something really stupid that we don't need, but that once we know, that's cool. Right?
Yeah, and could set off a whole other chain of thought research. Yeah, absolutely.
Like I went to see one of the award ceremonies in London a few years back.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Nice. And it was about this guy that won, measured the testicle lengths of both the right and left testicles on statues around Europe and stuff. So which one dangles the most?
Uh-huh.
And it was quite funny that, you know, he did some measuring of all the statues and their balls.
Right.
And why one would hang more than the other on which one and how would they know? And
do nude statues of Zeus like have big old, or like Moses, like
we're going to say big old balls?
Do they have big old balls?
I don't know.
I think that they're like, they're pretty sort of
Zeus
normal,
balls.
If you like.
Yeah.
Just Google that really.
I just wonder because old men balls. Like I've been in a YMCA changing room. I've seen some balls that dangle to knee length.
No, they're sort of like impressive. Demure, on a cold day, they're nice and neatly wrapped.
Right.
As if it looked like one ball.
Well, yeah. This was funny because one of the prizes is almost a follow-up to the question of
these
testicular balance.
These first couple
balance.
Really made me think. Let's start off with physics because this is a question I actually recently had. So physics, Ig Nobel Prize was for studying how and why wombats make cube-shaped poo. We have a rabbit who, our neighbors have a rabbit that gets loose in our yard all the time and shits out all these tiny little perfectly round pebbles. That's what rabbit shit is. And I have spent a lot of time picking that up and wondering what about their anatomy makes, like, is there something evolutionarily beneficial to having round poop? Like, does it smell less? So
butthole shaped or something,
right?
Well,
right.
I did wonder when you said cubed. I wonder if like if it falls, it means that it doesn't roll away.
Well, this is what it looks like.
Yeah, so like if it's a cubed poo, then it would just stay in position. Well, a ball one, for example, the dung beetle, it's a ball and it can push it around. But a square, you don't have square wheels on a skateboard.
It's the building blocks of a shitty house.
Right.
I think, the conclusion they came to was really about the shape and flexibility of the intestines of a wombat.
Right.
And then also dry environments that they live in. So, I mean, I guess what the knock-on effect of this research is that it could help for manufacturing industries to kind of like, find new techniques for creating cube-shaped products.
Right.
I guess.
Yeah, I guess they weren't looking into evolutionary biology.
Could you imagine if they were making little shit glues? Like igloos with their cube-shaped shits they could like stack
into. They're really beautifully cube-shaped. They do a good job.
They look like, I'm trying to think of what it is, like a Hi-Chew candy that was in your pocket for a little too long.
Oh yeah, yeah, kind of slightly melted, but
yeah,
it's
a little
solidified.
Off. It's not perfect, angularly speaking.
Right,
but you get the gist.
Yeah,
I think I'm right about rabbit poo because sphere has the least surface area.
Boom, great.
It just slides out, right?
Just credit to you.
But also,
you won the Ig Nobel Prize.
Probably
for solving that.
Smells less. There's less of it on the outside to smell. So, because like that is one way that predators will track prey is based on like the scent of their shit.
I just picture you looking at this rabbit shit like in your backyard, like a magnifying glass, and you're like, really thinking
Sarah's
about
like,
it.
Like, Jack, what are you doing?
Get in the house! I'm doing research. Okay, why is it round? What could it be?
Don't rabbits also eat their own poop? And so, wouldn't it be easier to like eat spherical food rather?
I know
than
dogs
ones?
Eat.
Cat
puppies
shit.
Eat their own shit, and that's because it's very. That's how I knew the thing about predators tracking based on.
Yeah, I know. That's
smell.
How you knew.
It's because their milky poo smells very strongly and makes it very easy to track puppies. So that's why they adapted the habit of eating puppy poop.
Katie Golden from Creature Feature informed me because my dog was eating cat shit.
Yeah,
is that there's a high fat content.
Right.
Cat droppings, which makes it delicious to a dog somehow.
Yeah, and a good
not
spread.
Just dogs, humans.
Oh, great.
Oh, Super Producer Anna Hosny asked me if I eat the rabbit poop, and I do not.
He tastes them.
Right.
Doesn't eat them. Big
sample.
Difference.
Yeah.
And then rinses his mouth out immediately.
Right.
The thing I do want to say, like you're talking about, testicles is back for the anatomy prize.
Oh,
okay.
Testicles is back.
They're back, baby. From the prize went to these researchers who actually, I think they're French because they were studying young French postmen for this study to figure out the scrotal temperature and asymmetry in naked and clothed postmen in France was
that
the award,
so
very specifically.
Specific.
Wait, do your balls change shape based on whether you're naked or clothed?
I think they were just trying to see, like, if you have clothes on, is there maybe some heat feedback? Like, what's that do to your ball temperature, your sack temp?
By the way, gentlemen, have you ever, when laying in bed naked, and you've let someone sort of rub their hand from your ankle up to your groinage area?
Yeah, I pee everywhere. Is that what you're saying?
No. That's, wow. That's
my bad. What were you going to say?
As you move the hand up, as you get to around the knee, the ball very quickly hides back in its little...
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever done that
no.
before?
No.
Oh, like preservation
really
mechanism?
Wonderful. Yeah, it's like a sort of like if an insect or a snake sort of went up your leg, your balls protect
immediately
itself.
Immediately like right. retreat?
And it's very difficult to do it yourself, but you can do, but ultimately yourself, your brain goes, well, that's my hand, so that's why right. I'm not scared.
But that's why I got to do the stranger.
Else, yeah, if you get someone else to just rub... rub your leg very gently.
Right.
Your balls go in. It's a really quite wonderful thing to do between two lovers.
So this is the thing. What they're saying is, like you were saying, when you're asking about the drop length of the scrotum
yeah.
and the testicles within the scrotum, they're, okay, so it is that has been researched, and they think it's probably to prevent collision between the two testicles or maybe if have more effective cooling. But it seemed like something with the left one on a high, like on a, at a higher rate was typically the hotter ball.
Mm.
So, you know.
Left is hotter ball.
Yeah.
On average.
I mean, look, again, these aren't real studies. These are more like,
no,
let's
they
just
are
check
real,
it.
They
I mean,
are
they are,
studies,
but not in the
actually.
Way that they could have said, like, sort of like unequivocally
right.
that it's like that. But yeah.
Did you know that the David, Michelangelo's The David, has a small...
I like that you call him The David.
The David has a small penis because he's supposed to be about to fight...
Goliath,
yeah. It's like supposed to be right before, and you can like, if you get up close, his eyes are like really wide, like
oh,
he's
yeah,
about
yeah.
to
his
fight.
His pupils are really yeah. large, yeah.
And
yeah.
his, like, all his, like, vascular structure is like really, like... flush.
Shit. Yeah, yeah,
so,
yeah.
like, that's why, like, he doesn't just have a small penis. It's like Michelangelo was
it's
like.
It's not just a small penis,
right.
guys.
Michelangelo was like, this is, you know,
art.
He's got
yeah.
the.
Oh,
yeah,
shit.
It's the moment.
Pulled in
yeah,
because
yeah.
he's feeling fear. It's supposed
oh,
to be a
that
man
makes
in
so
fear.
Much sense.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Thanks for that.
Speaking of Italy, the prize in medicine was given to people who were collecting evidence that pizza might protect against illness and death if the pizza is made and eaten in Italy.
I mean, this just sounds like it was. Done to queue up one of your stories.
No, it's not, because that would be Naples, the home of really great pizza. But this is neither here nor there. The deal is, these researchers started in 2003, where they investigated whether ingesting Italian pizza can protect against cancer. That's the biggest thing. Then 2004, whether pizza could offset the risk of acute myocardial infarction. And in 2006, again, they built on their work in 2003 to study whether eating pizza reduced the risk of breast, ovarian, and prostate cancer. They were all basically like, there's no way for us to know. But we did just sort of test these people who ate pizza in Italy.
Right.
And
I wonder if they considered the placebo effect of eating a pizza in Italy. Because
right.
if you're going to Italy, you know, you want to eat some spaghetti. You want to eat a pizza because you're in Italy. When
right.
in Rome, right?
Right?
And so the joy of eating a pizza in Italy, in front of the Colosseum,
right.
might bring you so much more extra joy than just eating a pizza, you know, out of a Ralph's freezer.
Yeah.
Right.
Without
that,
warming
that
it
maybe,
up.
That may be just frozen.
Just
yeah.
right there in the
like
Ralph's
Frisbee.
Freezer aisle. Fuck it. This Red Baron ain't going to eat itself.
Yeah, I do
wonder,
yeah, if this has something to do with this just being like peak human... joy, like
that, or
pizza.
The Mediterranean diet, or you know, whatever that could be. But
right,
I mean,
it just
seems
weirdly specific.
Like, I think that's what they should have done, is test people who aren't Italian,
right?
Because then there's a little bit of more wonder
yeah.
and whimsy for being in Italy and seeing if that gives something to people.
I would yeah. love it if, you know, I say love it, you know, if someone had cancer in Italy and just went to a doctor and went, oh, well, I can prescribe you a nice margarita.
And it's like,
right.
oh, thank you, sir.
It's like, this is, are they just like trying to create Italian jokes, bring back Italian jokes about Italian people. All right, let's talk about the medical education one.
Okay, I think this was interesting because this one was about using a simple clicker training for animals.
Mm-hmm. Pavlovian thing.
If that can train surgeons to perform orthopedic surgery. And so what they want to do is two specific surgical tasks, tying the locking sliding knot and making a low angle drill hole. And what they did was just sort of using the effectiveness of this clicker that's usually for animals. But the clicker serves as a conditioned reinforcer that communicates in a way that is language and judgment free. So the result was the clicker trained group of medical students took more time to learn the tasks than the control group, but they were better at performing the tasks precisely.
Hmm.
And if you're talking about surgery, baby, it's all precision.
Yes.
So next time you go into any kind of orthopedic surgery, ask if they've been clicker trained.
But also, isn't that just hypnosis? I mean, that's what hypnotists are. Like, they sort of click you, and it sort of gives you a sense of tempo in your mind, even if you don't really realize it. It subconsciously keeps track of time.
Well, I don't know if it's meant, it's about tempo more so, like if when the mistake's made or you do well, you hear the clicker to just sort of create that
connection,
aural reinforcement or something.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, look, but that, isn't that, that's a form of hypnosis is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Hell probably. Yeah, man. I don't know, man. Look, I'm just, I didn't even know about the Ig Nobles until right now. I'm ignorant, okay? Or ignorante.
Ignorante.
As they would say in Italy.
Well, shit. Eric, it's been a pleasure having you, man.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah.
You're a real artist, man. You've been drawing like really cool shit this whole time.
Can we sell this?
Yeah.
You can have it.
For charity. No, to charity.
Yeah, to charity if you want. Yeah, sure.
Where can people find you, follow you?
My name is Eric Lampere. Find me on Instagram because I hate Twitter or Facebook. I've also got an album, Alien of Extraordinary Ability. You can buy it, but if not, it's free on Spotify. I have a show called Born of Chaos, which I'm doing in Los Angeles on the 26th of September and 24th of October at the Broadwater Theatre. And it's like, it's mainly comedy, but there is some tragedy.
Yeah.
So I'm enjoying, I really genuinely, it was the show that I did at the Edinburgh Festival, and I'd say for the first time in my career, proud of a project. Does that make sense?
That's
like,
great.
Not no, first no, time, but mean, like, yeah, yeah. Like before the shows were good, you know, the shows were funny, like Alien of Extraordinary Ability, the album. Yeah, it's funny, but it's not really saying anything. It's just a good hour.
Right. I mean, that is the blurb on the cover, right?
What?
Yeah. Not really saying anything,
funny,
but
it's not really saying anything.
But hey, it'll make you laugh.
So this is the show that I'm proud of, so I would love it if
that's
people
exciting.
Congrats, man. Yeah. I know, it's tough when you're a creator because sometimes you don't allow yourself to like sort of pat yourself on the back or feel fully confident in some of the work you made. So
So it feels good.
Applaud you for experience.
And for Boise, we did a show called Comedian Cinema Club where we recreate movies live on stage. We did Princess Bride and it was sold out. And so we decided to come back. So we're back on the 11th of January to do Labyrinth.
Where?
Oh, shit.
In Boise?
In Boise. And then we're hopefully going to be doing a little tour around the Midwest and Chicago and stuff like that. So
Labyrinth
will
be sick.
If you want to see comedians getting drunk and recreating movies, get in touch with me.
Yeah.
Love you.
Are you going to be David Bowie?
Oh, yeah, of course I'll be David.
Oh, right, mate.
Oh, tra-la-la.
What did Boise do to deserve this?
This masterful comedy.
Well, I just got invited to the 208 Comedy Festival, and I just brought my humor, and turns out the Americans like it.
Is there a tweet you've been enjoying?
Oh, no.
Okay. Is there anything
I honestly don't like Twitter. In fact, I only now follow 6 people, and they're all cinema-based things because it got a little bit too much.
Yeah,
I'm trying to be aware of the things that are going on in the world while at the same time having to try and take care of my mental health. And if I keep reading stuff about Brexit and Trump and stuff, it becomes very difficult because I'm like, Trump and Boris and other people around the world are a bunch of C-words.
Right. You're filling the chaos bucket in your subconscious with the media taking in.
Yeah, so I'm just trying to just chill out. And Twitter is never, I think, about a good place for that.
That's why I got to listen to the Daily Zeitgeist.
That's true.
Miles, where can people find you? And is there a tweet you've been enjoying?
Oh, boy.
Watch out, guys.
Twitter and Instagram.
Hold on to your buttholes in particular.
Because the poo that's coming out is not round or cubical.
No.
It's a mess, brother. It's a mess. It's loose, baby. The stool is loose. Shout out to Dr. Lisa Swan for identifying the problem. Now, let's see. At Miles Gray, Twitter, Instagram. Some tweets I like. At Molly Lambert. Thank God being a redhead exempts me from the are you the blonde scammer or the brunette scammer binary. In parentheses, all redheads are scammers. Then there was another one from, so, you know, with that whole fiasco with Shane Racist, whatever the fuck that dude's name is, who was really.
Shane Racist.
Yeah, coming with all the really just hilarious border boundary pushing racist comedy. Andrew T was quoting, he said, like, he tweeted about it. He said, who is going to be the first one to write the Rob Schneider Asian erasure hot take? But deep down, someone who's listening, this is Dylan Clark Moore, I think who listens to the show as well, at Dylan Clark Moore, said, I keep hearing this in the Ninja Turtles theme, and he wrote it as the logo, and it says, Rob Schneider Asian erasure. Oh, man. Heroes that are half Asian, turtle power. Or he's actually a quarter.
Or maybe but who's measuring, hey?
Yeah, you know, look, we're not here to check blood quantum.
Some tweets I've been enjoying. Megan Amran just retweeted one of her old tweets with the word important. And it, her old tweet was, yeah, sure, I like Sorkin. Sorkin my own dick. Which is one of the most important tweets of all time.
And I think Aaron would appreciate a well-phrased tweet.
Yeah.
And then went to Ed Drill said, I love saying shit like, yow, this kitten's got claws whenever a woman stabs me 38 times in the neck and chest. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. That's how I talk now that we have 100 episodes out, bitches.
100 seasons, doggy.
100 seasons. Woof! 500 episodes. It's what it is. Blake. Sorry, I wanted to. There was another tweet that I was looking for that I found.
Oh.
Blake Wexler tweeted things I most often mumble to myself on a daily basis. One, God damn it. Two, Jesus fucking Christ. Three, holy goddamn shit. Four, nice bangs, idiot. Five, oh my fucking God. I have four of those. I do not say holy goddamn shit under my breath, but all the other ones are.
Nice bangs, idiot?
Yeah, nice bangs.
Nice bangs, idiot.
Nice bangs,
I'm trying to think of what the like, in what context would you sincerely say, fucking, yeah, nice bangs, idiot?
Right.
Like, are you like a competitive hairstylist and so, someone else gets surprisingly in?
Yeah, it sounds like an 80s movie.
Hey,
yeah.
Nice bangs, idiot. Yeah, good one, boss.
Yeah, got him.
Oh, also, Mike Drucker inspired my AKA today with this tweet. Joker should end with him getting a serious XM show where he just complains about being silenced. And I think that's probably going to happen with this SNL fucker. What song are we going to ride out on today?
Oh, a song we're riding on today is a track called One Day.
You just grape stomping ladyed us.
And it's from an artist called Smeul. I don't know how to... S-M-E...
Smeul?
S-M-E...
It's One Day by Smeul. One Day.
To get his new album, Precious. Out now. S-M-E-Y-E-U-L, period. And it's called One Day. It's just a very... It's a head nod, sort of Dilla jazz sample instrumental track. But the chord progression, I don't know if you like to sing, it almost makes you want to sing over it. Ooh. That's why I like it. Because I'm a... Look, we all know how much I like to sing. And not well. But anyway, One Day, Smeul, Smeul, whatever you want to call him, Bilbo Baggins, Trilbo Swaggins, we're out.
This specifically makes you want to sing Nickelback over it, right?
No comment.
Okay. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for today. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast, and we'll talk to you then. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.